Good morning. Happy Sabbath to everyone here. Can you say praise God this morning? Isn't it a true blessing to be counted as one of God's own children this morning? Amen. We come into his house to be blessed and to lift him up this morning. How many of you came to praise God on this beautiful day? I know I did, you know, because God is worthy to be praised. Amen. You know, I listened to Dan talk about some of our sick members and some of our loved ones that are in pain, and we even have some loved ones who've had parents pass away. And we think about the things that are going on in the world today. We know the tragedies that are going on in the world and across our country. And I want you to know that being depressed, being angry, not in your own mind, or just being sick and tired of being sick and tired, are just a few of the ailments of this world. You know, though, I've come to believe that praising God can make a difference. I know it's made a difference in my life today. I want you to know that praising God has allowed me to be able to tell you that I'm standing in the safety zone of my God today. Standing in the midst of God's good graces. And that's because I've come to believe that praising my God has caused his goodnesses to be camped all around me today and every day. You know, I don't always know what this world will bring, but I've come to believe that since I've given my life to Christ, that since I've started walking the way in which he wants me to walk, I've come to believe that I do know one thing. This is the life for me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you know what is on each one of your children's hearts. Dear Father, you know our cares and our concerns. Lord, we know that you don't hear our words, but you hear our needs and our thoughts, and you provide. Father, we come into this sanctuary to lift up praises to you. We come into this sanctuary that we may be strengthened to go out to do a work for you. We come into this sanctuary to give a testimony of the blessings and praises which you have already done for us in our families and in our lives. Lord, but we also want to lift up this country and its leaders. We want to lift up the leadership of this church. We want to lift up every saint here that you may touch them and let them go out and give a testimony to the love and to the power that you put in their hands. Dear Father, we ask that you bless our sick and our shut-in. Bless our young and our old ones, dear Lord. Bless our pastor, for he's out doing your work in another part of the vineyard. And as I pause for another moment, I ask that you take this servant here this morning and hide him behind yourself. I ask that you let it be you that is seen and you that is heard. Let your Holy Spirit fall down upon this place, Lord, that we may all receive a blessing this morning and go away praising God and lifting you up to everyone we come in contact with. Thank you, God, again for allowing us to be a part of your plan of salvation. Bless this place and everyone that hears your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You know, I was praying in my car this morning, and I want to invite all of you to feel what I felt before I came in. If you would, I'd like you to picture Jesus' face. Picture Jesus' hands and what he went through for us. You know, I like to think of my brother Ed when he prays and how it moves him so when he prays. And when I get into preparation to do anything for God, how I want to go into his presence. So I invite you, picture Jesus' face this morning. Picture his hands and what he's done for us. I want to welcome all my friends and visitors and family alike this morning. On behalf of our pastor, Peter Neary, and the church officers, myself and my wife, welcome to Fallbrook Church today. For those who don't know me, I'm Perry Robinson, your servant and friend this morning. I want you to know I often shake my head when I think of my past life. The life that I had before I knew Christ, in the B.C., if you would. Before I knew him or came to know anything about him. I mean, my grandmother told me about Jesus, and I went to church. But I didn't know God. So I often shake my head when I think of that time. But you see, I've come to believe today that if I stay out of my own way, and call on the name of Jesus, call on the name of my God, my Lord, that he is faithful to hear me today. He is faithful to answer me today, faithful to save me today. You see, I've come to believe that my God is faithful, amen. So if you would, I'd like to speak for a moment, for a little while, on the topic of I've come to believe, or our faith is on trial, because how and what we believe is the very foundation on how we live our lives. So again, I ask you please to pray for me this morning as I do for you. You know, the Bible says that we are in the midst of a spiritual warfare. And that's whether we believe it or not. I want you to know our belief in our God and what he has said to us is where the first blow will be struck in this warfare. We don't have to believe we're in spiritual warfare. Just look around you and see what's going on in your life today. Let's take a look, if you would, at the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. The book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, my reading in your hearing. It says, I hear some pages still turning, I'll wait just a moment. It says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I want you to understand that he did give us the power, and if we believe these words, then Satan has already lost this battle. We are in a spiritual warfare, but if you believe the word of God, then Satan has already lost his battle. And he knows it. So from the very beginning, starting with Adam and Eve, Satan has sought to shake our belief. He has sought to shake our faith, the very foundation of our belief. You see, your belief and your faith are two of the most powerful tools or weapons, along with prayer, that have been left open for your use from on high. If there, they can shield or protect us. But if not, they'll leave a gaping hole in our defense against Satan, this world, and ourselves. A lot of people don't like to think of themselves as being the problem, but I want you to know, if you don't lift up your life to God, then we can get in our own ways as well. In every instance of Jesus' greatest healing, I want you to know it was faith that he himself marveled at. Or it was prayer that he displayed as his greatest tool. To be sure, though, faith and prayer are not rainy day tools. If you think that you can just put faith and prayer up on a shelf and pull it down whenever you're in trouble, then I want you to know you're wrong. You need to be able to have faith in God. You need to be able to lift up your prayers to God on a daily basis. You know, I told my young people last night that, you know, whenever you're in trouble, if you're not a prayer warrior, if you haven't been keeping your life in tune in prayer, if you haven't been keeping your communication line open with God, then you know what? You need to find you some old saint, some prayer warrior, somebody that dials God up all the time. You see, sometimes we feel like our prayers can't get through. But I want you to know there are those among us who stay in prayer constantly. If you don't know some, you need to find some. Somebody that can dial 1-800 to God immediately and get through all the time. That's what we need. But you need to know that your faith and your prayer are not rainy day tools. They can't be put on the shelf and pulled down only when we are in trouble. It says in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and what is heard by the word of God and the preaching of Christ. So your faith is to be strengthened. It is to be sharpened by the study of and the hearing of the word of God. Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood after she touched the hem of his garment, "It was your faith, woman, that healed thee." He said to the Roman centurion in Matthew 8:15, after the soldier said to him, "Speak it, Lord, and I know it will be done." He said that, "I have not seen such faith in all of Israel." You see, after your faith, after your belief, then there's prayer. You see, they don't necessarily have to come in that order, but I want you to understand that if you're praying to somebody you don't believe in, it may be going somewhere it's not supposed to be going. If you're not lifting it up in prayers, if you believe it, it says in Mark 11 and 24, and again in Matthew 21, verse 22, if you ask anything in prayer, that you should believe that you've already received it, huh? Because nothing takes the place of prayer. I don't know if you heard me. I said nothing takes the place of prayer, because prayer is your voice in heaven. Prayer gives hope. Prayer soothes and relieves our fears. Prayer is belief in our Maker. Prayer is a place to give praise to God. Prayer is communication with the Father. Prayer is the dwelling place of God. And you need to know that prayer is one of the greatest acts of faith that you will ever perform. And I know that's true because of my own answered prayers. You know, everybody's had their stories. Everybody's gone to God. And sometimes we come back wondering what has happened. But I want you to know in your own experience, you need to look at your own experience. And I can only talk about mine most of the time. But God has answered my prayers. A lot of you know the story about my wife and my son. I want you to know that my wife is coming up on her year anniversary from her cancer surgery. I can't even tell you the blessings that go through me from that. You see, because I wasn't afraid to take it to God in prayer. I wasn't afraid to bring it to my church family. A lot of people say, you know, I don't have to go to church to have that relationship with God. I can stay at home and do television evangelism. I can just listen to it on the radio, and I'm not going to knock what they're saying, but I want you to understand, when you bring your prayer to this sanctuary, when God tells you to bring it before the people of God, and everybody's on one accord praying for something that you know God can do to come about, there's no more power than that in the world. There's no more power than that. I wouldn't give up my church family and this praying sanctuary for anything else on the world. You see, I have my wife today. because I lifted it up in prayer. My son was a father. I hadn't heard from my son in years and years and years. And God said, you know what? He just tapped me on my back. He said, you know, you need to take it to the family. Let the family lift it up in prayer. I hear from my son all the time now. My mother just wrote me a letter that I just got a time to read it this morning. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll tell you, there's nothing that touches my heart like the joy of hearing my mother know that everything is all right. My son calls me on a regular basis. He writes me on a regular basis. I know he's all right today. See, I know God has a chance to work in his life because I wasn't afraid to bring it to this house. I wasn't afraid to ask my whole church family. I wasn't afraid to lay out my life on the line and say, God, I need you. Help me. We all need to be able to say, God, I need you. Help me. And it's not just me. We've got a church family here today that came to this church from another country. And when they got here, in a form of indentured servitude. When they started working here in this country, they became oppressed by their employer. The employer wanted them to work for what was probably close to slave wages. They had them under his thumb because he knew he had them right where he wanted them, but they weren't afraid. See? They lifted it up to God. They came to this church family. They put it before God. I want you to know God blessed them. God blesses through people. God took the pastor. He took the people of this church. He blessed that family. I want you to know they aren't in indentured servitude anymore. They're able to live their life freely. As a matter of fact, they're members of this church. I'm not going to mention any names. They can tell you who they are when they want to, but I want you to know God blesses today when you lift it up in prayer. We need to go to God in prayer. It says in Mark 11:24, believe and have faith in what you pray and you will receive it. It says in James 15:5, it says a prayer of faith will heal a sick man. And I want you to know, I know that's true today. We need to have faith. We need to carry on as if it's already been done. We need to thank God in advance. Act like we know that God is in the blessing business. You understand what I'm saying? Act like we know. See, we're children of God. We're Christians. We can't say, I wonder if God is going to bless me today. We need to act like we know that God is in the blessing business. So when you pray, believe that you have already received it. You know, there are those of us that say, listen to this, all else has failed. I think I'll try God now. I've tried everything else. I've done all I know to do. I've searched here and I've searched there. Nothing else has helped. So what do I have to lose? Praying to God just might work. Now, I've been there before. I know I have. You see, there are levels of faith. A lot of people don't understand that, but I'm here to tell you, there are levels of faith. Trying God when all else has failed is faith. It's called inferior faith. Going to God last instead of first, as if something else, as if someone else, as if anything else could fix us or our situation, is inferior faith. Don't get me wrong, there's other levels of faith. There's another level of faith called fearing faith. There's a fearing faith, that faith we have that only comes out when we're backed into a corner or left nowhere else to turn. That faith that only comes out when we're threatened or bullied or when we come under attack. You know, that faith we get when our pulse rate rises. That's called fearing faith, and I know I've been there as well. But I want you to know that last resort faith, is better than no faith at all. You see, with last resort faith, at least you know of God. You understand what I'm saying? With last resort faith, at least you know that God exists. You know that God will help you. You know that God will come to your rescue. You don't know how. And you don't know where, but you know and you believe that God will come. You know, these seemingly low levels of faith are not always what they seem. Sometimes it just takes what it takes. God will allow you and he will allow me to get into situations, to get into problems, to get into things that cause us to have to look beyond ourselves. Sometimes we think that we can fix everything. Sometimes we think that we can do everything. God sometimes has to allow situations to happen in our lives so other things will fall away. So that we can look beyond ourselves. See, I know I've had to go there myself. I know I had to. And now, I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about me. I had to lose just about everything I had in my life. See, I had things. Always used to have things. But I couldn't see God. And I know God was calling me since I was a little child. But I wanted what I wanted. God had to allow those things. I'm only talking about me. I'm not talking about you. He had to allow all those things to fall away from me so I could see God. I needed to see God because my life was going crazy. Didn't matter about the things. My life was insane. So God had to remove the things. He had to allow those things to fall away. Now, all of us don't have to go that route, but many of us do. Why? Because our faith is a lacking faith. But that's a whole nother sermon. And we're not going to go there today. Lacking faith is a whole nother sermon. I do want you to know that through faith, we receive the grace of God. But faith is not our Savior. It earns nothing. Faith can't save you. But it is the tool, it is the hand by which we can lay hold upon Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your faith is the tool by which you can lay hold upon Christ and appropriate his merits. You see, our faith is that which captures the very heart, the very attention of God. You understand, Jesus is looking for those of us who believe. He's looking for those who are just yearning for him. He's looking for those of us who are down here who just say, you know, let me touch the hem of his garment. Let me just come into his presence. And I know it's going to be all right. Jesus is looking for that. See, your faith helps you to just grasp the very attention of God. But I want you to know it's also that same faith, that very same faith that drives Satan out of his mind. You understand what I'm saying? When Satan sees that little spark of faith, that love you have for Jesus, he'll do anything he can to rush upon you, to make your world bleak, to make your life unsatisfactory, so that maybe you'll break. It's that very same faith that drives Satan out of his mind. You see, our belief through all the craziness, our belief when all the odds are against us, that through one faithful soul that believes, God will make a way out of no way. Amen? That God works his mightiest wonders through our hopes and our beliefs. That because our God is an on-time God, just when the curtain is about to close, my God comes through, huh? Just when the door is about to shut, he opens another one, huh? Just when it seems the room is darkest, just about when everybody else is about to give up hope, just when all is counted out, and some of you understand this, just when the fat lady begins to sing, that's when my God says, that's when my Jesus says, hold up, huh? Somebody touched me. Hold up, somebody out in the crowd touched me. You need to understand, Jesus says it was not unto death. It was not even unto discern that any of your problems, any of my problems, that anything in this world happened. You understand? You need to know that things happen in life, so that my Father in heaven may be glorified. You need to be able to bend your knee. You need to be able to have faith. You need to be able to go to God in prayer. Anything happens that looks like it's not supposed to happen is only happening so that my Father in heaven may be glorified. Amen? You see, Satan wants you to be counted out. He wants you to think that all this is just another fairy tale, that there will be no Calvary riding in just in the nick of time to save you, that there will be no sunrise on your horizon, huh? That after the 10th count, you're out. That there is no use in hope or faith, that God just ain't coming. Because there ain't no God. Satan wants you to believe that there is no God. You understand? He wants us to do all his work for him with our own unbelief. But I want you to know that with God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, that with God, who said in John 20:29, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. In Mark 9:23, all things are possible for them that believe. And in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And in John 14:1, if you follow me, if you would, over in John 14:1, a lot of you already know about this. John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, we need to have faith. We need to believe today. Because these are some of the most powerful tools that God has left open for our use. And I want you to know that I've come to believe today, and I can tell the world about the hope that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, during Jesus' lifetime, he had many struggles and many doubters, and things happened in his lifetime, his ministry. I want you to know that once was a man during Jesus' ministry named Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. He was a teacher of the people. He came to Jesus by night. Now, it can be said that he came by night because he didn't want to be seen by his fellow Pharisees. Or it can be said that he didn't want to appear to validate my Lord's ministry by day. Or it can be said that he just yearned to believe. Whatever the reason Nicodemus came, I want you to know that he encountered the Christ and his life was never the same. Let's look at John 3:1-12. John 3:1-12. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a man, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou, teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, listen to what my Lord said. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And you know, Jesus could have stopped Nicodemus right there and looked at him in the eye and said, you know, Nicodemus, you don't have to get smart about this. You know, I'm just trying to tell you something. You don't have to chastise me because I'm trying to tell you something. But Jesus didn't want to scare Nicodemus off. He didn't want to run Nicodemus off. Jesus didn't come to run us off. Jesus wanted to calmly walk Nicodemus down so Nicodemus would understand the message he was trying to give him. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." We don't know which way the Spirit is coming from. We don't know how the Spirit is going to enter into us. But God says we got to have this before we enter into the kingdom of heaven. You understand? Nicodemus answered and said, "How can these things be so?" And Jesus answered again, saying unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, "You're a teacher of the people. And I done laid some of this earthly fruit before you, and you didn't receive any of it. I've got some more stuff I need to tell you, but you didn't receive the stuff I laid before you. I've got heavenly manna for you." Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, "There's much, much more to give you. I have heavenly thoughts. I've got heavenly things. I've got heavenly manna to delight and enrich you with. But how can I press on with deeper spiritual food when you don't? When you won't hear or understand this simple food that I place right before you? You see, howbeit you're a teacher of Israel, and even you don't understand. We must accept, listen to this now, simple earthly truths in order to move on to that which is heavenly. We need to learn how to stop lying. We need to learn how to stop cheating. We need to learn how to stop gossiping. Stop bearing false witness. We need to give a faithful account of our lives today to Christ. I know I do. You see, nobody's perfect. I need to learn all those tools. Those are the earthly things God has laid right before us. He said, we need to learn how to do all these things before I can give you some more. I've got plenty more for you. But we've been stumbling over these things. We have to work on these things. You see, Jesus already knows what we should know, that God doesn't have to get you when you're wrong, That God doesn't have to lower himself to our standards when we're not right. You see, because the law of cause and effect are real today. What goes around, what comes around. Don't you know, when I do wrong, my wrong will find me. God doesn't have to come get me. Everybody wants to believe God came and got you. When I do wrong, my wrong will come and find me. Because God said, you will reap that which you sow. So it's up to you what you receive. You understand? If you sow kindness, you'll what? You'll receive kindness. If you sow slow tithing, listen to me now. If you're so slow tithing, when your blessing comes a little slow, then you need to understand why it came a little slow. Because you tithe just a little slow. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. God says, I will forgive you as you forgive others. We need to hear Jesus. We need to learn these earthly truths. It says in Ephesians 4:25, therefore let everyone putting away falsehood speak truth. Be angry, but don't sin. I like that. God said, you can get angry. It's okay to be angry, but don't sin. Don't steal, but labor. It's simple truths. These are simple truths that he wants to give us. He wants us to get so that he can give us much, much more. You see, our faith is on trial today. What we believe, how we live our lives. what God has said to us. We as the people of God must come to believe because it's our life that's in the balance. Jesus told Nicodemus, don't marvel at this that I say you must be born again to go to heaven. Your old self, the self that we hold on to, must die because that self can't go to heaven. You see, I must die and you must die. But you know what? I've come to believe. I really come to believe. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die to themselves. Nobody wants to die to this world and all the things that this world calls us to be. Yet my Lord says that we must be born again. You know, Nicodemus finally figured it out because Christ calmly walked Nicodemus down. He didn't scare him off and he didn't run him off. He told Nicodemus just what he needed to hear so Nicodemus could make it into the kingdom of heaven. Little as is known, and Nicodemus became one of Jesus' greatest followers. When Jesus died, Nicodemus gave all that he had to further the kingdom of heaven because he came to believe. He finally got it. You see, he understood that that which was flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is of the Spirit and belongs to God. So all of us must come to believe today. We must come to believe that, number one, we are in a state of spiritual warfare and that the enemy is trying to sift us. And number two, that our faith in God and belief in His Word and belief in our communication with Him, prayer, are most powerful tools. And number three, we must learn to get through these earthly lessons that God may feed us with heavenly manna. And last, four, we need to be like the tightrope walker or the soldier going through the minefield. Don't give so much thought to the rope or the explosions going on all around you that you don't have a plan or a thought of how to make it to the other side. You see, God is waiting on your decision. How are you going to make it to the other side? We need to understand that we need to be willing to die today. We need to be willing to die to ourselves, and we have to come to believe. Are you willing to die to yourself today? If you're willing to die to yourself and you believe in Christ Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands right where you are today. If you're willing to die to yourself. If you believe in Christ Jesus today, just raise your hand. See, God can see you. All the angels in heaven see you today. If you know that your faith is on trial and you're willing to live for the kingdom of God, I ask you again, raise your hands today. Your faith is on trial and you're willing to live for the kingdom of God. Everybody can put their hands down. You've been recorded. And lastly, if you're seeking God's plan on how to make it to the other side, if you're seeking God's plan on how to make it to the other side, if you're willing to receive God's Holy Spirit this morning, I ask you to stand up this morning. If you're willing to receive God's Holy Spirit, if you're trying to make it to the other side, God's side, I ask you to stand this morning. And as it says over in John 1, chapter 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in 3 and 16, everybody knows that, 3 and 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it's a simple task given to a complicated people today. All I ask, and all we have to do is die. I'm going to ask you, Is that so hard? To die today. Let us pray. Dear Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we may all bear witness that we love you this morning. By standing, we're asking, Lord, that you will show us the light on how to make it to the other side. We're asking you to send down your Holy Spirit to fall down upon this place, touch each member here and each family, that as each one can go out, each one can touch one. Lord, we know that there's a mighty work for us to do. We need to believe and have faith in your word, Father. We thank you for touching each and every one of us here. May these words be a blessing for the world to receive. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.